here. We're a little bit early. That's okay. 1 minute's not going to hurt anything. We want to welcome everyone that's joined us by live stream this morning. You are very important to us, and we're glad you're here. We're going to have a great word today. And I'm going to invite everyone, especially at home, to get your drinks in the beginning so you don't miss anything that God has to say this morning. I'm not God, but he has given me a message, especially for the body of Christ. Now, every message is good. But here lately, he told me at the first of the year, we're going to go up higher. How many of you want to go up higher with God? How many of you want to speak healing over your body and it happens immediately? How many of you want to speak prosperity over your finances and it happens immediately, not having to wait for it? How many of you want to speak salvation over your children, your grandchildren, and those around you that may be lost and you see it happen immediately? It can happen. And I'm going to show you how it can happen this morning. Amen? You have your Bibles this morning, be turning to Luke chapter number 6. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Father God, as I said earlier, prepare the hearts and the minds of your people to receive what you have for them this morning, Lord God. That I know you want to take us up higher, that you want us spreading your gospel. You want us helping other people more than we have ever before, Father God. We're living in a time, Father God, that people are going to be wanting to come to the house of God as a hospital and get healed, get delivered from the things that they're bound up by, Father God. And we thank you that we're going to be ready for that because we're going to prepare our hearts and our minds and our willingness to serve you, Father God, and we're going to be able to minister to more and more people. And we give you praise and glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 6. We just finished a three-part series on establishing a godly family. I told you this morning that God ministered to me that you are my family. Amen. And we began that series talking about how the Word of God must be the foundation of our lives. If we want to have a successful life, if we want to have a successful marriage, if we want to have a successful family, we must put God's Word first. And it's easy to see what happens in the world that we're living in, a world that's rebelling against God, turning away from his word and doing their own thing. That any given day you can turn on the news and you'll see, number one, open corruption in our government. You'll see corrupt ideologies in the mainline churches. You'll see people hating on one another. You'll see multiple violence. You'll see division in families and across this world. You see a spirit of division attacking the church. You see a spirit of division attacking families. And when you see all these things manifesting in our society, you can know that this is what it looks like to turn away from God's ways. That's what we're witnessing. We're witnessing a living manifestation of rebellion against God. We're seeing a society that wants to redefine who God is, or more than that, they want to remove him altogether. They want to redefine what a godly individual looks like, what a godly marriage looks like, what a godly family is supposed to look like. They're even wanting to redefine what a godly church is supposed to look like. How many know it's the devil that's behind all that? He's behind all those lies. He's the deceiver into making people think one thing when God's word says another. That God was the original architect and his word is the blueprint of all there is. Amen. And without the word, there is no godly person. Without the word, there is no godly marriage. Without the word, there is no godly family. Without the word, there can be no godly church. Can you say amen to that? In other words, you cannot establish anything godly without God's word being in the center. We learn from Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds your life, unless the Lord builds your house, unless the Lord builds your family, everything you're doing is a waste of time. Amen. And if God's word says it, my brothers and sisters, it is so. We need to quit wasting our time trying to build a family, build a life without God in the center. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can't build wealth without God. But I'm going to say that I said that wrong. You can build wealth without God. The devil will allow you to become rich. Amen. So let me rephrase that. You can build wealth without God, but without God, you won't have joy with your wealth. How many times do we see people who make millions of dollars put a gun to their head and blow their brains out? Don't shout me down now. You cannot have joy without God. And happiness, listen to me, happiness is not the same thing as joy. You can have a great job or a successful career without God, but you will not walk in the peace and soundness that God intended for you without Him being the center of your life. And the sooner you and I, brothers and sisters, realize that, the quicker we'll make the changes when we hear God's word. That's why I said, we need to change immediately. When God touches us and He says, you need to change this in your life, don't wait. Do it. Say, okay, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to change right now. Because if you don't say it, what that song say? We have to speak life. You have to say it over your life before it ever going to happen. You can't think, okay, Lord, I'll change. And walk out that door, you're going to be the same person. Immediately when God tells you something, you need to say, okay, Father, I hear you, and I'll do it. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to realize that. So the question to all of us is this. How do you hear God's word? Do we hear and receive God's word as Him speaking directly to us and immediately make the necessary changes so our life lines up with His word? Or do we hear the word of God as optional? Something that we can take or leave? Do we receive His word as just mere suggestions that we don't do anything with? Therefore, our lives never change. We heard a testimony of this morning about how the word can change a person's life and take an illness off of them because they see the light. Amen. I can tell you this, if those two had never sowed a word in their father's life, he probably wouldn't have been healed. Somebody's got to sow the word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to sow the word. All right, I'm going to try to stay on my notes. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Man doing things his own way leads to destruction. I'm going to say that again. You and I trying to do things our own way will lead to destruction. The word says it will. But a man lining his life up with the word of God leads us to abundant life. How many want abundant life that Jesus has offered? Hallelujah. You want to live a life of abundant peace, abundant joy, regardless of the trials you may be going through, regardless of the storms of life, regardless of what's going on around you in this world. You want a life of peace and joy no matter what's going on in your family, no matter what's going on with your neighbors. If you want that, God has to be the center. You have to lean on Him always. Can you say amen? If God is in the center of your life, your marriage, your home, you're going to make changes. If God is the center of your life and you're listening to the word that's being preached, then you're going to change your life. Can you say amen? And if you're not willing to make the changes, let me tell you something. God's word will not benefit you. Amen. Again, the devil will let you make all the money you want. He'll prosper you. He'll give you new houses, new trucks, We've already went over that before. But the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain everything, gain the whole world, and lose his soul? And that's what the devil's after. He's after your soul. And don't think that he won't tempt you just like he did Jesus. He told Jesus, when he went to, everybody remember the story of Jesus going up and being tempted for 40 days? He told Jesus, he said, look out here. He said, I'll give you all this if you'll bow down and worship me. Too many Christians are bowing down and worshiping the devil. They don't say they are. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but they spend more time doing other things than they do with with their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I was one of them. I changed. When I saw things that God showed me in the Word where, John, you need to change, I didn't say, well, Lord, okay, I hear you. I said, no, I'll do it. And did it happen immediately every time? Absolutely not. Some things took a little bit more time, but I kept working on it. See, here's what happened. I changed my heart. I changed my heart, and my flesh eventually followed. You change your heart, your flesh will eventually follow. But you got to change your heart. Hallelujah. All right. Trying to stay on track, guys. Hallelujah. We have to make changes, and the Word of God will not benefit us if we don't. Why is that? Because it's only the Word that you hear, receive, and act on that will change your life. James 1:22, don't turn there, says, be a doer of God's Word. So how much of God's Word do you actually do? How much of God's Word are you doing? Got awful quiet in God's house. And that's good because you're thinking. You're thinking right now, wow, that really hits home. I need to be doing more. Amen. And that's okay. Man, we serve such a merciful God. Amen. Aren't you glad he don't strike you down when he tells you to do something, you don't do it immediately? Aren't you glad you're not an Old Testament person? That you're a New Testament person living under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. You in Luke yet? And let me say this before I move on. Being a doer of God's word is not for God. It's for us. Being a doer of God's word is for your benefit. He wants to bless you. But he can't bless you unless you're doing his word. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. I hope so. Look at this. Luke chapter 6, verse number 47. This says it all right here. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and what? Does them. Whoever comes to me and does my word, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house. Last week we referenced this scripture to building your home and your family. Y'all remember that? Today God's going to want to deal with you individually. I should have got at least one amen. He wants to deal with us individually. He says to each of you, you can write your name above that whoever. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation upon the rock. The rock being the word of God. How many of you know that? And when the floods rose, that's the storms of life, guys, he's talking about. When the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the word of God. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the written word of God. He is the incarnate word of God. Can you say amen? Now look at what happens when you don't do God's word. Verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation. against which the stream beat vehemently. The storms of life came to him as well. The storms come to all of us. The stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. I want you to notice that both of these folks had the same opportunity to build their house and their life on the Word of God. And both had a choice. Everybody say choice. They both chose the foundation of their life. Excuse me. One chose to build their life on the Word of God, which meant trusting God and doing things God's way. And the other one chose to build their life on their own understanding, doing what they wanted to do, doing what they perceived was right. And notice the results. The person who obeyed God's word withstood the attacks of the enemy and the storms of life, and the person who disobeyed God's word was defeated by the attacks of the devil. Can you see that? Got three people to say yes. Let me tell you something. You're going to have to see this, because this right here, what I'm reading you today, cannot be changed. You can't try to talk it away. You can't try to think it away. You can't try to analyze it. Well, you know, I think God is saying this right now, that this I won't be as blessed as that other person. No, it says what it means and means what it says. You do the word, you withstand everything that comes against you. And whether you believe it or not, the devil is real. And he attacks everybody on this earth. The thing of it is, the folks out there are submitting to him. What we do when we come in here is we hear the word, so we quit submitting to him. How many of you know that? That's why we're called the hospital. That's why we call ourselves the people that's going to help other people get delivered. And the word is the only thing that will deliver them. Amen. Excuse me. As I said, these scriptures are principles of God that cannot be changed. But you and I, everybody turn to the neighbor and say he's talking to you. But you and I must choose to apply these scriptures and these principles to our life. You have a choice this morning. You can sit there and you can think, well, okay, yeah, that's another great message. Or you can take this word to heart like God's talking to you personally, because he is. He loves you so much, and he wants to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. He wants to heal you. He wants you to deliver you. He wants to set you free from your bondage, whatever the bondage that may be. You know, we sang that song, "Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold Me Down." How many of you know they wasn't talking about the death grave? We're talking about graves that people can get in this life by being disobedient to God. Amen. The same thing this is saying. If you build your house on what you think is right, you're going to get it in the grave. You're going to fall. Your house is going to fall. You're going to be covered up with your house. And rightfully so, because you're not doing God's word. I'm not fussing at you. I love you. But we need to get on track here. Every one of us need to get on track with God. Amen. Hallelujah. It ain't about you doing what Pastor John's telling you to do. It's about, I'm just reading this. I'm just getting this word the same way I'm giving it to you is the way God gave it to me. And let me tell you something. When I got it, I got convicted. Amen. We can all move higher. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this morning we're going to deal with why people don't do God's word. Why aren't we doers of God's word? And then again, I'm speaking to myself as well. Why don't we do what we hear? Is it because we're bad people? No. But why, Lord? Everybody say, why, Lord? Why do I hear the word of God, but then I struggle to do it? Why do I hear your word, Father, and then find myself doing the same things and living the same way I did before I heard your word. We're not alone in this. How many of you know Brother Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, asked God the same thing? He says, why do I not do what you tell me to do? What your word tells me to do, and why do I still do the things that I don't want to do? See, he was having a battle, his spirit man against his flesh man. And his spirit man is asking, why, Lord? Why does my flesh keep doing these things? But then he got his answer. He says, the only way you'll change is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through the word that we can change. Amen. And the amount of change that's going to be in your life is an amount of words you get down on the inside of your heart and start acting on it. Don't shout me down now. We're having a block party, guys. Amen. I'm not in front of anybody's house. I'm not thinking of anybody individually. We're having a cul-de-sac party. We're all gathered in the same circle, and we're all hearing the same word. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're going to endeavor this morning to answer the question, why? The title of my message this morning is No More Excuses. No more excuses, guys. Hallelujah. Got awful quiet. Look at this in Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. Tell your neighbor, no more excuses. Be a doer of God's word. Luke chapter 14. Why don't we do what God tells us? See, I personally believe everyone in this sanctuary this morning loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I also believe all of us want the best from God. How many of you want the best? Amen. I believe all of us want to have a blessed life. We want to have a blessed home. We want to have a blessed marriage. We want to have a blessed family. We want our children to grow up in the admonition of the Lord, to where they don't have to battle some of the things we had to battle. We always need to want more for our kids. Everybody wants more, but they think it's in natural stuff. Well, I'm going to give them more than I had. Give them a legacy of the Word of God. Leave them a real legacy. Not one that's going to rust and become corrupt and go away at Walmart. You give them a legacy of the Word of God, and God will always be with them. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Here's the question. Are we willing to do what it takes to appropriate God's promises? Are you willing? If you're willing this morning, now don't raise your hand now, because I'm fixing to put you on the spot. Are you willing this morning to do what it takes to appropriate God's promises? If you are, raise your hand. Amen. That's right. Not every hand went up. Everybody's kind of, oh, I don't know. And that's okay. But you need to pray about it. Because you'll not move any further in God until you make the move. Amen. All right. Now, stay on track, John. Luke 14, I'm sorry. And this, Jesus gives us some very important wisdom in Luke chapter number 14. He says this, and remember, we're talking about no more excuses. He says, now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Underline that in your Bible. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Everybody wants to eat the bread with Jesus, right? Amen. Who's going to eat that bread? Everybody say, I am. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, underline were invited, said, come, for all things are now ready. But they all, with one accord, began to make what? Excuses. The first said to him, I've just bought a piece of ground, and I got to go out and see it. I asked you to have me excused. And then another said this. He says, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and am going to test them, and I asked also to have me excused. And still another said, man, I just got married. And therefore, I cannot come because we're busy. So that servant came and reported these things to the master. And remember, this is a spiritual application of the spiritual, of the supper with the Lamb, okay? Amen. This ain't a parable in the sense that it's something you can take or leave. In other words, the servant said, Lord, you invited all these people to come and sit down in the kingdom of God, to sit at your personal table and partake of kingdom blessings. And what are they doing? They're making excuses. Now watch this in verse 21. Then the master of the house, being angry. How many of you know God can get angry at you if you don't, eventually you don't do what he says? And he ain't going to strike you down. He ain't going to hit you with his great big stick. What he's going to do is he's got to take his hands off of you and let the devil have his way with you. Do you understand that? When we are not doers of the word, or we do something contrary to the word, it opens the door to the devil and closes the door to God, to where God can't help you. Amen. I told you this morning, this is a strong word for strong Christians. Amen. And it don't matter what age you are. Amen. We can all grow. The master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, okay, go on out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. In other words, the ones that haven't fully committed to the Lord, don't really know the Lord, they still got problems in their lives. He first invited the Christians, come into my house, partake of my blessings. Well, we're too busy. Busy, busy, busy. So then he asked all the ones that are imperfect. And the servant said, Master, verse number 22, he said, Master, it is done as you commanded. And look at this, and still there is room. Those folks didn't even want to come into God's house. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them. In other words, beg them, please come into the kingdom of God, that my house may be filled. For I say to you, now watch this, guys, this is very serious. For I say to you that none of those men or women who were invited shall taste of my supper. My brothers and sisters, that is the strongest word that we can hear. That's a strong word right now. Now I want you to notice this, that the folks chose natural things over spiritual things. And because they chose natural things over spiritual things, they missed out on everything God had for them. I'm not saying they went to hell, but how many of you know God wants to bless you here? There are a lot of people in this day and hour that we're living that are going to miss out on what God has for them because they too are choosing natural things over spiritual things. Listen to me. God gives every one of us the same opportunity. Thank you. To be more faithful. He gives every one of us the same opportunity to be more committed to him. He gives us the same opportunity for us to be more blessed. God gives every person the same opportunity to change their lives for the better. And they make all kinds of excuses why they can't do it. Why they can't do what God told them to do. And I'm talking to me too, brothers and sisters. We can all grow in this area. So please, I'm compelling you this morning. Don't get mad at me. Get right with God. Amen? Listen, my heart's desire is to help you. To help you grow. And I know sometimes in here lately, God's been bringing a strong word. That's why I keep moving around up here. My feet keep getting stepped on. But we as a church need to change ourselves first for the better. And then we need to go out there and compel people to come in here. But they're not going to want to come in here if you're living the same way they are. Are you hearing me? If they hear you screaming at your kids, how in the world can you tell them not to scream at their kids? They see you fussing and fighting with your spouse. How can you tell somebody and give somebody counsel that they shouldn't be screaming and yelling and cussing one another? Don't shout me down now. That was Holy Ghost. It was for somebody. No problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me move over here. Let me say this. Although God gives us all the same opportunity, not all of us take the time to do it. Amen? Can we change? Can you say amen to that? To sit down and be blessed at the table of God and partake of everything He offers us, all the benefits that belong to us, we got to do His word. Because I know the blessing will not happen. Listen to me. Will not happen without yours and my cooperation with the word. I cannot expect God to bless me if I'm not obeying Him. Not as a tyrant, but as somebody who reverences Him and His word. That was one of our first messages this year. To reverence God so much that His word becomes number one in your life. That you can't get up in the morning without opening your daily devotional, like I know many of you do. And reading His word and praying to Him, asking Him and talking to Him. Saying, Lord God, lead me today. Let's get up and say, praise God, I'm glad I'm alive. Hallelujah. Start somewhere. We have to give God our cooperation. In other words, there has to be constant adjustments in our lives. There has to be constant adjustments made in the way we think. There has to be constant adjustments in the way we respond when God tells us something. Amen. You see, these folks didn't value the master's invitation to sit down at his table, but they chose to do what they wanted to do. And Jesus said to them, none of these will sit at my table. He says, I gave them every opportunity, but they turned away from the truth. I gave them a pastor, and he taught them the word. He taught them the truth. Yet they went their own way and they did their own thing. Saying things like, well, I want to do this. I don't want to be bound. What's the pastor trying to rule our lives for? I'm not trying to rule your lives. I'm trying to keep you out of hell. And I'm trying to help you receive the blessings of God on this earth. Amen. That's what God has called me to do. And I bring it to you just like He brings it to me. Amen. Hallelujah. But they'll say things, I want to do this, I want to do that. I want to live my life the way I want to. And let me tell you something, that's okay with God. He'll let you do whatever you want to. You're a free moral agent. He's not going to force you to do anything. Now, just because he don't correct you don't mean he agrees with what you're doing. Don't ever mistake God is not making a note, because the Bible talks about the books were opened in Revelations, and this is just extra manna for you, that the books are open and your name's in there. And everything you do in your life is written in that book. Now, the one that we're going to stand before, I pray that everybody does, is the judgment seat of Christ. Where everything he reads in that book, only the good stuff you did is going to be in there, and that's when you're going to get your rewards. You don't want to be at the other opening of the books. And there's going to be many there. The Bible says so in Matthew chapter 7, I believe, that wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And then he says many will go in that way. So there's going to be many at the other one that's going to be standing before God. They could have already been in hell, and they're going to be standing up there saying, why was I there? I was a good person. I gave to the Shriners. I sent a little money to the church. And he's going to listen to them. He's going to read their life to them. And he's going to say, here's where I told you to do this, but you chose to do that. Here's where I told you to go here, but you chose to go there. Here's where I told you, Jonah, to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel, but you chose to go fishing. Don't be angry at me. His boat ain't been in the water in a long time. And I hope the next time he goes in the water, I'm in it. Hallelujah. God don't mind us having fun. How many of you know that? Yeah. Amen. All right, let me get back on this. We need to make sure we don't go our own way, even though God will let us go on our way. Can you say amen to that? I don't know about you, but I want to sit at the table with Christ. I want everything he has to offer me right now on this earth. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to start enjoying everything, and I'm not. Because let me tell you something. This man, not this pastor, but this man is doing my best to practice what this pastor up here preaches. Amen. But that's what he's talking about here. People making excuses. We make excuses. We make excuses why we can't come in fellowship more often. We make excuses why we can't come to church and hear God's word. And Jesus gives us three examples right here in Luke. The first one says, I bought a piece of ground and must go and see it. That represents your earthly possessions. I can't do what God wants me to because I'm too busy with everything else. The second one is in verse number 19. That was verse number 18. Second one's in verse number 19. It says, I bought five oxen and I'm going to test them. This represents your business or your job or your occupation, and allowing your business and money to make you work on Sundays. Now, I know there's people who have to work on Sundays if you're bound to an employer. But I can tell you this, too. If you got a job that makes you work on Sunday, you ought to be praying to God he'll give you another one that makes you more money that you don't have to work on Sunday. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. You don't have to work on Sunday if you don't really want to. Amen. But that represents your business. Allowing your business to draw you away from the things of God and put your mind and your heart on the things of this world. I told you this morning, somebody's going to get some help today. Amen. The third excuse is in Luke chapter 14:20. It says, well, I've just married a wife. This represents your social ties. This represents you going out and doing things in the world and all the maybe putting things ahead of God, all your social ties. Well, we come to work, we come to church this Sunday, Pastor, but we got family coming in Saturday. Well, bring them to church with you. Show them your commitment to God. It's only 2 hours out of your day. They don't need to come and take you out of church. They should come and you bring them to church. I got one all right. I'm stepping on some toes this morning. Some people put their family ahead of God when they ought to bring their family and introduce him to God. Well, I don't know about bringing this church, Pastor. They might never come back. May change your life too. May change them into somebody that wants to find a church just like this one somewhere else that preaches the uncompromised word of God. Not worried about numbers, not worried about filling seats, playing rock music and having light shows, but worried about the growth of the people sitting in the pews and growing them up to where when the devil attacks their home and attacks their life and attacks their children, they can say, no, you don't, Satan. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You leave here without having the authority of God, it's your own fault. You leave here without having the power of Almighty God working in your lives, it's your own fault. Because you're hearing it every Sunday. And I'm not fussing at you. I don't have anybody in mind other than myself that I need to do more. Hallelujah. Look at this in verse number 25. And let me say this, in all three of these situations, the people made excuses, and notice their decisions were choices that impacted their lives. Just like in Luke chapter 6, where they chose the foundation of their life, their choice set the course of their life on this earth. Are you hearing me this morning? Verse number 25, Luke 14, 25 says this, says, now great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said to them, this is Jesus talking, guys. If anyone comes to me, now watch this, and does not hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's not what your pastor's saying to you. That's what Jesus is saying. Look at verse number 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Notice Jesus said, if anyone who comes to me and wants to follow after me, this is what it's going to cost them. You say you want to be a disciple of Christ, and I've asked the people in this church to raise their hand, and almost every hand goes up that you want to be God's disciple, Jesus' disciple. You say you want to be a disciple, there's going to be a price that you're going to have to pay. And sadly, very few Christians are willing to pay the price, especially in the day that we're living. There's so much compromise out there that other churches are preaching. Well, I'm just getting tired of pastor always telling me I need to do something. Man, just every weekend. I'm going to go down here to this church. I hear they play music for 45 minutes and the pastor only gets up for 15. That's what I'm looking for. Some praise and worship where I can enter into God's presence. Let me tell you something. If you don't have no word in you, you ain't in God's presence. You're in your flesh. You can raise your hands all day long and think you're in the Spirit. But if you ain't got God's word inside of you, the Spirit ain't there. Because his word is his Spirit. Amen. You got to know what you're praising. You got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way you'll ever grow a relationship with Jesus Christ is through the written word of God. Whether you're hearing it on Sundays or you're reading it at home for yourself, that's the only way you'll ever have a close relationship with Jesus. Does that mean you won't go to heaven? No. But you'll struggle with the trials of life. You'll struggle with things on this earth, and you really don't have to. I said you really don't have to. Amen. I know that's strong language, guys. The good news is, the word hate here in the Greek simply means you love that thing less. That I love my wife less than I love Jesus. That I love my brothers and sisters less than I love him. That's what that means. So God is not promoting hate. Study your Bible. That word hate right there means love less. Amen. That's a good word. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, you have to love everyone and everything that pertains to your own life less than you love me. He said, you can't even love yourself more than you love me. Amen. Now that right there is a whole nother subject. Because when you go off and do your own thing, you're loving you more than you are him. And that's another whole message. So let's move on. So ask yourself this question. What is it that you love more than God? Do you love your wife more than God? Do you love your children more than God? Do you love sports more than God? Do you love your business or your career more than God? Where is God on your list of priorities? Jesus says if you want to be his disciple, if I want to be his disciple and you want to be his disciple, we're going to have to love him and the things of God more than we love anyone or anything else. And we need to quit making excuses why we don't. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to help out Pastor, but I can't help out at the church this weekend. Cause. I always have a cause. Because I'm doing this. Because I'm doing that. I know the Bible says we ought to be about the Father's business. I know the Bible is telling us we ought to put our hands to the plow. I know we ought to serve the local church. But. I know we ought to give our best to God. But. I know we ought to be diligent. We ought to be faithful. But. I know pastors always getting up asking for more help, but I know he's always saying many hands make a light load, but so we just can't find time to help out, Pastor, because we got all this other stuff we got to do. We are just so busy. Getting off quiet. If that's you, you need to repent. Because you're the same as these people that Jesus is describing right here. Making excuses to God why you can't help out, why you can't do anything, why you can't come on Wednesday night, why you can't come to Man Up, why you can't come to sister, why you can't come to the Valentine's deal, why you can't come to this, why you can't come to that. You're making all kinds of excuses. And we all make them. Okay? We all make them. You ever make excuses, Pastor? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what I did? I repented. I said, Lord, forgive me. That's just an excuse. We used to drive to San Antonio. I was the head of construction over there. So every time something needed to be done, I had to drive to San Antonio to do it. I didn't have to. I wanted to. See, I made a decision a long time ago that I was going to do more for the kingdom of God than I ever had before. So when they say, Brother John, can you come over here and build us a new sound booth? If you ever go to Living Way Church, look at that sound booth. The Lord helped me build it. We built storage rooms. We had to build the drama set every time they had a drama for I Give You Jesus during the Passover. And I drove every day to go build that set. You know why? Not to get glory, but to give him glory. To show myself and everybody who was looking, I don't know if they were or not, that I was willing to do whatever it took to serve my Lord, because he gave me life. And he gave me the breath that's in my lungs. And he gave me all my abilities that I have. All the gifts that I have as a carpenter, electrician, and all the gifts in construction, he gave it to me. So it's his. So I need to give it back to him. He's giving you gifts that you need to give back to him. They ain't yours. They're his. Will you rob God? Malachi 3:8. He's not talking about just money. It is about money in Malachi 3:8. But he's, would you rob God of your talents? Hallelujah. How many of you still love me? Come on, give me another. I'm going to ask it again because not many hands went up. Give you a second opportunity. Hallelujah. Yeah, somebody on the internet's like, hey, we're with you, Pastor. Amen. Praise God. I know it's a strong word. It's ministering to me as well, guys. And I, you know, when I read something, when the Lord gave this to me, I read this. I said, you know something, Lord? I want to be more diligent. I want to be more diligent to seek you and seek your word. How many of you in here know that the word diligent is in front of all of God's blessings? If you diligently seek my word and do my commandments, Deuteronomy chapter 28, read the first 14 verses. If you diligently seek me and do my word, then all these blessings will come upon you. Hallelujah. How many of you want all them blessings? God just saw your hand, I start doing his word. Diligently seek him. Put him first in your life, not last. Amen. Not even second. Put him first. Praise God. And I'm not just talking about you and me being committed to doing more works at the church. I'm talking about you and me being more committed and more diligent to fulfill God's will for our lives. And just put a stop to making excuses why we can't. Are you with me this morning? Listen to me closely. Making excuses carries with it a hefty price. Making excuses carries a hefty price. Notice in verse number 17, everything was already ready, but their minds and their hearts were occupied with other things. And the master had prepared the best for everyone that would come in, but they were too busy. So they made excuses. And this is why so many Christians of today miss out on the spiritual blessings God has for them, because they're so naturally minded. They allow their mind to dictate what they will or won't do instead of letting God's word dictate what they will or won't do. They allow their feelings to motivate their actions instead of asking, what does God's word say about how I should behave? If you and I don't decide to put spiritual things first, then it will be easy to be drawn away by the natural things. And we see that even happening in our own church. People who come and say, man, we just love this church. We just love the people. And then 6 weeks later, they're gone because they can't stand sitting under the word of God because it convicts them. Little did they know that the word of God is supposed to convict us. Little did they know that the word of God is supposed to train us up. Little did they know that the word of God is supposed to change us from who we are. Why would we think, why would we read in the Bible when Jesus came down from being tempted and he started his ministry, why would we ever think that his first words would be repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand? Yeah. Amen. The church needs to get out on its knees and ask God to forgive them. I'm telling you that everything we see out in this world today started 100 years ago when the church sat down and let Satan take over. And now look what the church has turned into. Not this church. It ain't happening here. You may come to church next Sunday and have an empty pew next to you, and that's okay. As long as you keep coming, you're going to grow. As long as you keep coming, you're going to have victory in your family. As long as you keep coming, you're going to give yourself. I'm looking at Jake, but I'm talking to everybody. Most of the time I move to the left, now I'm moving to the right. You're going to come to church and you're going to start giving more of yourself to praise and worship. More of yourself to ushering. More of yourself to be on the safety team. More of yourself to be greeting the new people that come in instead of hovering around in our own groups like little groups of ants talking to one another and a visitor come in and nobody even say hello. Now, we do have people that do say hello, but what about you? What about you coming a little bit early and when you see a new person sit down, you go up to them and say, hey, man, welcome. My name is so-and-so. What about you doing that? Oh, man, I tell you, the Holy Ghost is taking over. Hallelujah. We got to decide to put spiritual things first. That does not mean we cannot enjoy all the fun activities like hunting, fishing, going to ball games, going to moral social gatherings, godly social gatherings. I'm not preaching to stay home and pray all day. I'm not preaching to stay home and study your Bible all day. But whenever we enter into some other activity that begins to cost us spiritually, when we enter into that activity that draws our attention away from God's word and his will for our life, then we should rethink that activity. Can you say amen? God expects you and me to keep our attention focused on doing his will, even as we are enjoying all the natural activities. Amen. Now, quickly, turn over to Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to do my best to hurry. But listen, guys, I will not apologize for giving you the word that God gave me. Amen? Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. The greatest challenge you and I will ever face is yielding our will to the Lord's will. That's the greatest challenge. The second greatest challenge is to quit making excuses while we don't. Excuses. Excuses. Well, I just can't help out, Pastor. I just don't feel like very spiritual today, so I'm going to stay home. Can you get somebody to work in my ministry place? Because I'm just not going to make it. I don't feel like I can teach today. I don't feel like I can usher today. I don't feel like I can greet today. What if I did that? What if I just decided one morning not to show up? Tell Brenda, well, baby, I'm tired. Don't feel very spiritual today. So I just don't feel like teaching anybody anything. So everybody just had to figure everything out for themselves this morning. Everybody in this church be going, what kind of a pastor is that? What do you mean he's not showing up? What do you mean he's not coming this morning? What's wrong with him? Don't he care about us? Don't he care about us feeding his sheep? Is he backslid or what, Miss Brenda? What's going on? Let me ask you something. Why should my commitment be greater than yours? Why should my commitment be greater than yours? Mine should be no different than yours. I mean, I thought we were in covenant together. I thought we were a covenant family. That we all joined us together to do everything together, to do the ministry together. Why should mine and Miss Brenda's and the few that work in the church be any different than all those that don't do anything in the church? Now I'm coming on your street. I thought we were a covenant family. I thought we were in this together. Whatever happened to all the folks that raised their hands saying, yeah, we're with you, Pastor. Then as time goes by, only few remain faithful. What happened? Excuses. A good excuse presented itself to the many. That must be somebody that needs help. Hallelujah. Well, at least Jesus is on the job, right? Amen. But good excuses will present themselves to everyone. And it presented itself to these. So what did they do? They quit. They made an excuse. And I'm not being critical of those folks. But it was the same in Jesus' day. And we'll see that in Mark chapter 4. I'm going to try to hurry. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, no more excuses. Mark chapter 4, verse number 14 says, the sower sows the word. What's being sown? The word. God's word. And these are those, the ones by the wayside where the word was sown. When they hear the word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. In other words, Satan came immediately with other thoughts contrary to God's word. So then they walked out of this building and didn't do the message. Verse number 16. These likewise are the ones that were sown on stony ground, who, when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Woohoo! Great message, right? Man, that was a good word. How many of you ever said that? I know you've said it to me. How many of you remembered it all the way to the car? Amen. They immediately received the word with gladness, but they had no root in themselves. In other words, they never did anything at home. They didn't pray at home. They didn't speak God's word over their life. They didn't read and study and have Bible study with their family at home. They didn't do the things that it takes to diligently seek the Lord. They just came to church and got a message. Hallelujah. They didn't have no root in themselves. So they only endured for a short time. And afterward, when the tribulations and the storms and the persecutions of life arose for the word's sake, immediately they stumbled. The word stumble here doesn't mean they backslid. It just simply means they weren't able to stand against the storms of the devil and the wiles of the devil, because they weren't rooted and grounded in the word of God. Verse number 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and then the cares of this world, the job, the kids, the ball games, everything comes first. Or the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in. They choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. Notice all these folks hear the word, but they spend so much of their time going after the riches and all the natural things of this life that they neglect the word of God that they heard. So the word becomes unfruitful in their life. And they wonder, why is all this stuff happening to me? Why is the devil after me? And he's not after Brother Jason. Or he's not after Brother Ed. Because they may be doing the word. I can tell you, if he's not after them, if he's not all the time changing their attitudes, than they're doing the word. And when they fall short of that, when they stumble, they become one of these people. They heard the word, but they didn't practice it at home. All it does is take practice. You have to practice it. You have to practice it. And yeah, you're going to stumble and fall. When you get up, you say, Lord, forgive me, I fell. And move on. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But he's talking about these folks that put natural things in front of spiritual things, that neglect the word that they heard, and the word became unfruitful. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Listen to me. Satan will cause you to become rich, and he will give you everything you desire just to keep you from fulfilling God's will for your life. Amen. That's why Jesus calls it the deceitfulness of riches. Am I helping you? Look at verse 20. These are the ones we want to be, right? But these are the ones sown on good ground. How many of you in here are good ground? Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. My brother, sister, God wants us to bear fruit in our lives. John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, don't turn there, says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, verse number 8, by this, by you doing verse number 7, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So abiding in God's word will produce word fruit in our lives. I want to tell you this morning the four types of dirt, and we're going to close. Number one, this is the person who hears the word and goes right out the doors, and immediately Satan meets them out there to steal the word that they heard or distort the word that they heard, and then they go right on living their life all the week until the next Sunday just the way they want to. The second type of dirt is the ones that hear the word but don't study at home. They don't pray. They don't speak God's word. Therefore, the word never gets rooted in them, and when the word don't get rooted in you, when the trials and the tribulations come, it says they stumbled and fell. How many of you in here have ever stumbled and fallen? How many of you would admit it was because you didn't have the word rooted in your heart? Amen. Because if you do, you can't stumble. If you're rooted and grounded in God's word, guys, you cannot stumble and stay down. You might fall, stumble and fall, but you'll get right back up and repent. Amen? The next type of dirt, they heard the word with gladness. But then the cares of the world and the lust of their own flesh became more important to them. And the things of God became an option instead of a priority in their lives. Or we can be good dirt. We can hear the word and do it. Because it's the ones that are doers of God's word that the blessings will flow and manifest in their lives. Can you say amen? Now notice this. Each individual has to choose which type of dirt they are. Amen. You have to choose. It's your choice. I choose to be good dirt. How about you? Now, I want to share this with you. I shared this some of this Wednesday night. I found something very interesting when preparing this message, and Jesus revealed to me why Christians do not do his word. He said, here's what he told me. He said, I was only able to motivate 25% of the people that came to me. I was only able to motivate 25% of the people that would follow my word. 25%. And then he said this, do you really think you'll have more success than I did? And we see that today, even in this church. We have a function at church, 20% show up. We have the church needs help in all the different ministries, only 20% of the people will step up and do it. I want you to think about that. Only 20%, now this is a church as a whole, Only 20% of the born-again Christians that hear the word of God taught will actually do what they hear. And I want to tell you, I want to praise you because our percentage here is higher than that. Amen? My point is, if only 20% are actually doing the word, then that means 80% of all Christians are still making excuses. Wow. So the question is, which kind of a Christian are you? And brothers and sisters, I realize these messages are challenges to us. God's word is challenging this church to step up and be more. What's that? What was that commercial? Be all you can be or be more than you can be, something like that. Be all you can be. Amen. Be all you can be in Jesus Christ. How about that? These messages are going to challenge us. God is wanting us to step up and do more for his kingdom. And it's not because he wants to control our lives. It's because he wants to bless us. And his blessings will only flow through our obedience to his word. So, in closing, I want to encourage each one of you to get more involved in the ministry of God. Jesus is calling you. We sing that song, Jesus is calling. He's calling you to do more for him. That saying that John F. Kennedy had, I believe that was given by the Spirit. He says, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. We can say that same thing for the church. Ask not what God can do for you, but ask yourself what you can do for God. Can you say amen? Amen. And quit making excuses. Can you say amen to that? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. How many of you received the word of gladness and are going to come back to hear more? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can tell you this, guys, I love each and every one of you, and I know God is going to grow this church to be a beacon to our community. Can you say amen to that? Can you agree with that? Because when you agree with that, that means he's going to open up your life and show you things that you need to start doing. Amen? Amen. Well, we never stop a service without giving everybody an opportunity to rededicate their lives to the Lord. That means rededicating our lives is even in this. Quit making excuses and start doing what God tells you to do. But it also means that we give everybody an opportunity to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, either for the first time or rededicate yourself to him. So with every head bowed, every eye closed. First, it's a two-part. If you don't know Jesus Christ, whether you're in this room or you're watching by live stream right in your living room, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and your personal Lord, and be Lord, that means you're following him, you're doing your best to do what he wants you to do. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if that's you, raise your hand and put it right back down. Praise God. The second part of this altar call is this. If you're in this room this morning and you're like me and you've been convicted, and you know you need to do more for God, be bold enough right now, if that's you, to raise your hand and say, that's me, Lord. Show me what you want me to do. Now we can put our hands back down and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Father God, we thank you for the word that was sown this morning. We will not discard that word, but we will be doers of the word. Show me, Lord, where I can grow in you and do more for your kingdom. I believe Jesus Christ came to this earth to give me life and give it more abundantly. And because he did, I owe him my life. So right now, I give you my life, Lord. Do with me what you would have me do. In your precious name, Amen and amen. Hallelujah. There you go. Give the Lord a clap offering. Tough message this morning, but I see everybody's got their big boy britches on. So praise the Lord. Last thing we always say is God, we serve a miracle working God, and point at somebody and say, you are next in line for your miracle. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.